from all the way back?
Yes, like most astrologers. I remember star signs of every friend, and this is some of them. I've sometimes thought how weird it is. I remember, like, the Gemini, all the Gemini friends around June were the really chatty and cheeky ones. The Pisceans were the ones, you know, the dreamy ones where you'd sort of have sleepovers and talk about weird stuff at night. So I've always sort of just naturally grouped people a little bit by their sun sign. And I've always been very interested in science too. And that's another thing that I find most astrologers, nearly all astrologers, serious ones, are really into science as well.
Now, that is, I was actually going to ask you about this because that's a really controversial statement for a lot of, you know, sound asleep people. When they hear the word science used with the word astrology, they lose their shit because they get really upset about that. Why is astrology a science?
Well, astrology is a funny one because there seems to be some science to it in that for millennium people have observed things and then seen reactions and, you know, noticed that Mars was always prominent in the sky before a war and that sort of thing, because Mars is all about all that sort of action stuff and war. And so I think a lot of it's just observation, and I mean that is science really at its most basic. So the full moon, more emotions and hospital admissions and that sort of thing. The waxing moon just after the new moon is the time of growth, and then the waning moon is the time of like drawing in. So a lot of it is observational. But I do think that I wouldn't call it science. So I think there's some sort of base, a really simple base in science, but there's a lot more, and it's like covering, I still don't understand, you know, how it works. And I've been doing it seriously for 30 years, and I'm still often at the end of a reading, I'm as amazed as my client.
Because it's so complex, yeah. And it's so in-depth, and it goes on forever. And, I mean, it does include mathematics and it does include astronomy. So, I mean, there are a lot of elements of science in there. How long does astrology take to learn?
These days it's a lot more simple. When I learnt, which I started in the late 80s, properly learning, and I knew I was keen to learn, and I did read books and try to teach myself probably from about 13, but I knew in my heart that I needed some maturity before I actually did it, so I held back and, you know, I did other things like palmistry and tarot cards and all that stuff. So I started in the late 80s properly learning. And back then, the first year was logarithms and ephemeris reading and working out all the calculations. So it was totally old school. So that took up pretty much a year, like all the learning all the mathematics and plotting the planetary movements. But these days, you can get some really great programs. And so it's actually, to learn the basics can be really quite fast. Then it takes years, I think, to start putting it all together. It really is an onion. The more you peel, the more there is. And so it's a lifelong study.
Because I thought I remembered you telling me a long time ago that it was a 3-year course back then.
Yeah, yeah. So it was 3 years back then. And I think you really do, you know, it's great. You can have fun with it. And there's quite a lot you can do on more of a surface level, you know, just even learning about moon signs, you know, and sun signs and the rising sign or ascendant, even just those three simple things can start to be interesting. But there is actually a huge amount, and I still continue to learn now. So
now let's run through some common myths or questions that the average person always demands that astrology answer, such as, well, if you take the whole world's population and divide it by 12, you can't just have billions of people all with the same characteristics. So what does the astrologer answer to that question?
Well, I always look at the whole chart, because sometimes I can do a reading for someone and I will sometimes not even really mention their sun sign, which is your star sign, because other things are so much more prominent in their chart. So someone may have a Leo sun sign, but if they have a whole lot of really sensitive Pisces and water sign things, that's just going to completely put out the fire of the Leo. It will surface, but it takes quite a long time for people to see that and often for them to come into their power, because the sun sign is like the ego. But there's every planet, and then each planet has different aspects to things. They're all in different signs, and it's so complex that the sun sign becomes just one part, you know, of something much bigger.
So what people don't understand is that what an astrologer will do is that when you're born, they take a snapshot of where every planet was in the sky at that exact moment, and that's how they read a chart. Is that the best way to describe it?
That's a very good way to describe it, yes.
So you've got to take into account not just the sun sign, you're taking in where the moon was, where Saturn was, where Jupiter was, you're taking in the rising sign, which you're going to explain now. What's the rising sign, Jenny?
Well, the rising sign is really interesting. It's also called the ascendant, and that changes every 4 minutes. It moves 1 degree, so that it does the whole circuit over 24 hours. Every 2 hours, you know, it moves the sign. So if someone is born at sunrise, the sun is rising, and that will be the same. It will be on what's called your ascendant or rising sign. So they're a double dose. And the rising sign is your persona. So it can be, for some people, it's quite in harmony with the sun or their ego and sort of deeper self. But for other people, it's really different. So if someone is a sensitive Pisces or Cancer sun, but they have a fiery, extroverted, like Aries ascendant, I can see straight off that that's their comfortable. It can be a bit of a mask sometimes that people get caught into. And often it actually relates to one of the parents. It can be almost a learnt behaviour, and it's their comfortable mask. So in some people you can see if they have a big mask, and others it's in perfect harmony and they show the world who they really are.
Then we have the earth, air, fire and water. And then we have the cardinal signs as well.
That's right. So the cardinal, there's cardinal, fixed and mutable. The cardinal signs, if someone has a lot of cardinal energy in their chart, they're a doer. They're an actor on things. They'll be the leaders often. If someone has more mutable, they think things through a lot. They want all the information, but they need sometimes to be, you know, someone to say, come on, come on, and it needs to be pushed out. The fixed signs, they can be quite stubborn and set. And I actually, yeah, I was just talking with someone yesterday. They had a lot of fixed stuff, and I was saying it, if you have a lot of fixed signs, like planets in fixed signs, it can make you very determined. And like she had done a really big degree at uni, I said it there, there's the best use for it, but they can get stuck into ruts. So that's like Taureans, you know, they can get stuck into their comfortable rut. Or if you have a lot in Taurus, Leos can get stuck into things. And then you've got Scorpios, and then you've the other fixed sign is Aquarius. And so they can be quite stubborn and determined. So the ideal, I guess, is to have a good mix so that you come up with the ideas, you act on it, you know, but not too quickly.
What does it mean when we say the planets are squaring each other off?
So you have the horoscope is a circle and all the planets are plotted. And sometimes they form quite strong angles to each other, and these are called aspects. And some of these aspects are very, there's a lot of energy that seems to then flow between those two planets, that it like forms the relationship. So if they're squaring each other, that's a 90 degree aspect. It's a lot of tension between them. It's quite interesting, that tension often then ends up creating someone who's really uses those energies, but it will take a while to get to. They have to work through things to get to that energy. Whereas if they're making a flowing trine, it's called 120 degrees, it comes out early, it flows really easily, but sometimes it's too easy, you know, and it can flow into things that are more negative. They haven't had to work at it.
What are the nodes?
I love the nodes. They don't actually exist. The moon's nodes, there's a north node and the south node. Some people say like the dragon's head and the dragon's tail. It's actually, it's a formula worked out between the sun and the moon. And It's when it crosses the ecliptic. It's the point that that relationship crosses. And I do not know how and why, but they are so accurate that I sometimes just feel like reading. In fact, when I look at charts, I sometimes am just drawn to just go straight into the notes and talk all about that, because it's more the karmic. They talk about your karmic conditions in life, and the north node is where you're heading and the south node is where you've come from. And so you can start to actually, I start to see a lot of past life stuff in the nodes.
What do you say when the people then say, well, twins have almost exactly the same birth chart, so if astrology is real, then why aren't all twins more alike?
Even just if planets, and, you know, the moon moves very fast and so does the ascendant, as I was saying, like in 4 minutes that changes. Each degree has a slight a vibrational difference. And so the Sabian symbols, there's a symbol for every 360, you know, degree. The Sabian symbols talk about each one. And so even that in itself, and then all the degree of each of the 12 segments that rules a part of life, even just a couple of minutes or even a minute are enough to start shifting that. But I would also say that when I look at an astrology chart, you know, you can get a prince and a pauper born with, maybe it could be a fluke, they're born with exactly the same, but there are still different ways of using the energies within a chart, so that, you know, they might be used on a lower level or a higher level. So you get quite a lot of variation.
Well, now
that way,
that segues perfectly to my next question, which is, are we doomed to the life that is written in our chart? Where is free will versus destiny in all of this?
The perennial question, and it's one that I still to this day really do ponder quite often. I like to think that we have some free will. That's what I like to think. But that's a very Western way of thinking. What I've noticed, because I've just dabbled in Vedic Indian astrology just a little, but what I've noticed is that culturally it's quite different, and they are much more fatalistic about things, especially the Indian Vedic system is cut and dry. It's like black and white. You do not really have very much free will in their system at all. You know, it's your lot in life and accept it, and your karma will be improved, you know, by accepting it, that sort of thing. So it can be quite harsh. But in Western astrology, because we take a more psychological approach, in the old days in Western astrology, it was much more harsh. And some of the old books are still a bit freaky to read, you know, the malefics, and it's all a bit like, ooh, scary. But the more modern psychological way that most astrologers in the West use is much more self-determining. And so when I'm doing people's charts, I'll say, well, you know, you may have slipped into this more negative form. You know, yes, you're drinking too much, or your Neptune, you know, you're using it on the lower levels, but you have the opportunity to turn things around and flip that Neptunian energy, for example, into something that's very spiritual and beautiful. And there's a fine line, I think, between, you know, using something in a more negative way, and you can flip it into, there's always a flip side, how I look at it.
And I'm glad that you just ran through a lot of the different kinds of astrology, because people might not realise. I mean, there is what we call Western astrology, which was kind of like Linda Goodman in the 80s and, you know, Mystic Medusa. And you know, it's the way we view it as kind of modern Westerners, isn't it? But there is the Indian astrology, and there's Chinese astrology, and there's what's called medieval astrology. And you do karmic astrology. What can you tell us about that? What is that?
Karmic astrology? Well, for me, it really does focus more on the moon's north and south node, because to me, I can look at them in a chart and they sum up the whole chart, really, because our lives are so much just interwoven with our destiny and this karmic sort of thing. And I actually like to compare, I do a lot of relationship astrology, so I like to compare, I can pull up two charts and start to look at connections. Sometimes in a relationship, if the karmic stuff's the most interesting, I may see that they have a lot of connections from past lives, and that there's much more difficult things going on in this life. And I just know that there's, in those cases, there's unfinished business, but they're not a life partner. So it becomes, to me, very useful, especially with relationships.
And what can you tell us about the Chinese? Is it the Bazi?
I think everyone knows, you know, what animal sign they were born under. But it's a bit like, it's misleading. Like some people think, you know, Western astrology is just your sun sign or star sign, like you're a Leo or an Aries. And in Chinese, it's like, oh, you're a dog or a dragon. But like our astrology, it's really complex once you start to look into it. And it's called the Four Pillars of Destiny, or it's also known as B-A-Z-I, Bazi. And the Four Pillars of Destiny, so you have the year pillar, which most people know, you know, you might be a metal dog or something like that. You have a year pillar. Then you have a month pillar, and that's the season. It's called the season you're born in, and that may be a wood dragon. Then you have your day pillar, and so that may be, you know, a metal dragon. And then you have an hour pillar, if you know the hour. And that will be something else. So you end up with four animals and four different, you know, whether it's wood or metal. And there are 60 combination pillars, but then you have four of them. So start doing the maths. It becomes quite complex, and you'd look more at things in, so it's the animal relationships, but it's also some people have a lot of fire or some people have a lot of wood. And so you start to look at what they're missing and how it can come into their life. And it's really complex. I'm still learning it, but it's fascinating.
Astrology can also have a lot of connections to crystals and tarot cards and archetypes and gods and goddesses and stuff like that too, can't it?
Some people, it's so broad, and you'll find different astrologers like to look at it from, you know, different angles. For me, I'm probably a little more of a purist. I don't tend to go into that so much, whereas other people may be really into like the asteroids and the fixed stars. And it's very open, you know, for people to your thing, you know, and people start to focus in on their thing. But I guess my sort of more classical training with it, and like a lot of astrologers, I like to keep it fairly separate, you know, from most of the other, all the other stuff, which I love too.
The other big thing that I see people constantly putting up articles about is the stuff about that they're the 13th constellation or the shift in the signs.
Yes. I don't get where that is coming from. It's a bit like, you know, poor Pluto got demoted to a dwarf planet and then just a, I don't know what. And yet Pluto is so powerful in a chart that it may be that, you know, that part of the sky, Pluto has, there's a whole lot maybe of small planets that add up to being an incredible force, because any good astrologer will just tell you that's absolute bunkum. And it's the same with the precession of the equinoxes, that over, you know, centuries and centuries that there's been a shift and that they're actually all different now. Which, interestingly, the Indian Vedic astrology actually does it differently, so that they do use that shift. In the West, we don't, and still it just works so beautifully. So if it works, don't fix it, but